What's up, sunshine? It's Thursday, October 17th. Happy Friday Eve. One more day till we rock into the weekend. I'm Coy Wire. This is CNN 10, where I tell you the what, letting you decide what to think. Now, many of us are starting to see the fall come into full effect. So maybe cooler temperatures, maybe a changing of the leaves. But today, we're starting off with a look ahead to the winter because we're learning that this one might feel a lot different than the last few years. That's because a weak La Nina is expected to develop before winter and influence everything from temperatures, precipitation, even snowfall across the U.S. What is La Nina? It's a natural climate pattern that influences global weather with cooler than average ocean temperatures coming from the equatorial Pacific. We see its effects the most during the winter months in the northern hemisphere. If last winter felt warmer than usual where you are, that may be because it was dominated by La Nina's counterpart, El Nino. It was the warmest winter on record for the lower 48 in a world that's warming due to fossil fuel pollution. That winter warmth prevented many heavy snow events in the Northeast and Midwest, creating a winter snow drought that saw feet of missing snow. This winter, current forecasts are favoring a weaker La Nina, which means it'll have a less consistent impact on the weather because other weather patterns can influence it. This winter, the Climate Prediction Center's forecast shows the jet stream, a river of air that storms flow through, shifting north this December through February, typical for La Nina winter. That shift moves stormy weather out of the south and into parts of the northern U.S. The northern part of the U.S. is expected to end up wetter than normal compared to last winter. The south, on the other hand, is looking at a drier than normal winter, which means drought conditions could worsen throughout the season. La Nina isn't here yet, but once it arrives, it'll stick around all winter and likely persist into early spring of next year. 10-second trivia. In the U.S., how many electoral votes must a presidential candidate win in order to win the election? 300, 270, 538, or 200? Answer is 270. A majority of 270 electoral votes is required to elect the president. Over half of the Electoral College's 538 electors.
This is the 2020 map completely filled in, but on election night, it starts empty, and that is the real magic. The votes come in from state to state, county to county, and we count them. You probably wish you could have one of these at home. Actually, you do. Take out your phone, take out your tablet, make sure you download our latest CNN app. Pop on in, come down here. You'll see a little icon, magic wall. You got your own. Tap on that. Think about election night. Starts off blank, right? So does my night. And that's the magic. The results come in, you try to interpret them. Follow along with me. Pick it up at home and come through it. And if you're thinking, wait a minute, is that state the same as it was in 2020 or 2016? Well, you can find out. All the states fill in red and blue. And then you think, I live in Pennsylvania, right? That's a battleground state. Maybe you live here. If you live here, that's Delaware County. That's one of the swing counties, one of the suburbs of Philadelphia. One of the places is going to decide who wins, Trump or Harris. So you can look where you live, see as the votes come in, go back and look at a little history, or you can go to Michigan. Same thing. How are young people voting? Are they sticking with Harris? Are they looking at Trump? Are they staying home? Well, stretch out the Michigan map. Where's the University of Michigan? It's right here. It's in Washtenaw County. You can look as the results come in live on election night. You can go back and look. Is Harris in 2024 doing as well as Biden did in 2020? Let's go out to Arizona. So what are you going to look for here? That's Maricopa County right there, the big one. It's blue for Biden in 2020. It was red for Trump in 2016. I got a bigger one, but this is just as powerful, and you got it at home. A lot of people have put a lot of time into making this work. Might put me out of work, but it should be fun for you.
No one does election day excitement like our magic wall maestro, John King. And there's no group of voters that energizes an election quite like young voters. Pollsters are keeping their eyes on that demographic's enthusiasm, especially after President Joe Biden dropped out of the race and endorsed Vice President Kamala Harris. All eyes are on whether young voters will repeat their record turnout from 2020. CNN's Phil Mattingly has a look at just how crucial 18 to 29-year-old voters are to changing the tides of an election.
What's the deal with young voters? That is a question that without fail pops up in almost every conversation I have with political operatives at this point in any campaign cycle. Why? Simple. Gen Z has juice. Gen Z may decide the next president if Gen Z shows up. Because when they show up, it matters. Like here in 2008, when record-breaking young voter turnout fueled Barack Obama's winning campaign. historic levels of black voter turnout, young voter turnout boosted that campaign in critical swing states and states that hadn't turned blue in a generation, like this state, the state of North Carolina, with Obama flipping the Tar Heel state for the first time towards Democrats since Jimmy Carter. The success, in no small part, because of a major push on the campuses of 11 historically black colleges and universities. It's a playbook. The Harris campaign now is hoping to utilize to reassemble that coalition in 2024 and turn this state blue for the first time since right here, that first Obama victory. Is it possible? Well, let's take a look at more recent history. How about 2020? Last cycle, Joe Biden, Donald Trump, young voters essential to Biden's success in 2020. When you look at the swing states that mattered most, well, young voters helped him deliver. Arizona, Georgia, Michigan, Nevada, Pennsylvania, and Wisconsin, in all of these states, many of which came down to just a few thousand votes, Biden won the youth vote by double digits. And in each of those states, the youth vote makes up a significant percentage of the electorate. It's a demographic that's growing. This is important to note. Nearly 8 million young adults turned voting age since the 2022 midterms. That's midterms, not 2020, 2022. Let's take a little closer look at Georgia, a little bit south of North Carolina, another critical swing state. And it's a state that Joe Biden in 2020 won by just shy of 12,000 votes in an electorate where one in every five voters was under 30. Young voters in that state netted Biden around 187,000 votes. That is a lot more than the 12,000 vote margin in the state. Biden's strongest cohort in that state, well, that would be young black voters. More than 500,000 young voters of color across the state turning out for Biden in a 9-to-1 margin. But at the same time, Donald Trump pulled ahead nearly 20 points among young white voters there. And the point here is this, and it's a critical one this cycle too. Gen Z and millennial voters, they are not monolithic. Despite the critical role younger voters have played in landing the past two Democratic presidents in the White House, Gen Z isn't exactly flocking to the polls to vote blue up and down the ballot. In fact, a through line when you talk to younger voters, and a lot of pollsters do, is that when it comes to party preference, there isn't really one. There's a negative view of both parties. And while young voters of color were clearly a cornerstone of Joe Biden's 2020 success, Trump's performance among young white voters, it wasn't an anomaly in Georgia. It was actually the standard. Trump led among young white voters nearly 10 points nationally. And this time around, it's a generation that is intensely, intensely focused upon. Many of the same issues the rest of the country is watching, chiefly the economy, is exactly what young voters are watching as well. And when it comes to the economy, well, young voters match up with where the rest of the country seems to be. A generation concerned with housing costs, student loan debt, inflation, they view the Trump administration as having improved the economy more than the Biden administration. But, and yes, this is the caveat to end all caveats, the most important question for campaigns as they court young voters remains this. Will they actually turn out? It is the question going into every cycle, and it's the question that everybody's trying to track right now. Democrats are hopeful the answer is yes, especially since Harris's ascension to the top of the ticket is boosting enthusiasm nationwide, but especially among younger voters, which is exactly why you're seeing both campaigns focused so hard on appealing to these voters, hoping to get them to turn out, many for the first time in their lives.
Today's story getting a 10 out of 10. Europe isn't the only continent with giant pumpkins. These gargantuan gourds from around the U.S. are squash goals, competing in the 51st World Championship Pumpkin Way-Off in California. This year, a Minnesota teacher of horticulture took the prize for the fourth time. Travis Ginger of Anoka named his pumpkin Rudy because he didn't even think it would qualify this year, but maybe it could make a great comeback, and Rudy did. Though it didn't squash the world record Ginger set last year, the prize-winning pumpkin still took home more than $22,000. The gourd grower and his family drove a painstaking 35 hours across five states to get this behemoth to the scale, a pumpkin prize that could make a whole lot of pumpkin pies. All right, superstars, time for showing some love today. Shout out to the Sharks at Alfred G. Waters Middle School in Middletown, Delaware. Fins up, rise up. Love learning something new with you each day. I look forward to doing it again right here tomorrow on CNN 10.